Let's press in just a little bit. Love him with all of your heart. Lift up your voice and magnify him. Oh, God, we magnify him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, mighty, mighty, mighty God. We give you all praise. We magnify you, oh, God. Praise God. We've got a dear little sister about to go down in the water in Jesus' name. This is another contact from the coffee shop in Margaret, and a lot of family and friends are gathered there with them. They're going to go ahead and be baptized now during this time of this season of prayer. We're looking forward to what God is doing in a brand new season here for us. We're finding our way back to the house of God, and we're expecting God to do great things. And you want to be in prayer for these that are still sick and troubled in their bodies, but we believe everybody's going to get back up on their feet. Everybody's going to come back, be a part of the kingdom of God. So we want to celebrate with these as they are going down in the name of God. Above every name. If you're a guest here tonight, we're baptizing in water by immersion because that's how it worked in the biblical scenario. Baptismo is the word, and it simply means to immerse. And so you're not getting baptized if you're not getting immersed. And everybody that was baptized in the New Testament record, they were baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're baptizing this sweet sister in the name of Jesus, and they're going to be praying with her, and their little room is just packed out with folks. Praise God. This is what Jesus was speaking of to Nicodemus when he said, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. And this is being born of water. And being born of the Spirit is the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. And these are experiences that are replete in the book of Acts in chapter 2, 8, 10, and 19. And it is still real and powerful today. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's clap our hands and lift up the name of Jesus. Praise God. She's 10 years old, and she's making a big decision. And we are excited about what God is doing there. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to read tonight in 1 Kings chapter 2, or chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. We're about to close out this book of the 1 Kings and going to move on in. But as these books and these narratives kind of twine around one another from the Kings to the Chronicles, we'll be in and out of them as we go. But we're just about to break into another area of study here. After the ministry of Elijah, we're moving into the time frame characterized by Elisha. So at any rate, chapter 21, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto you. And Ahab came to his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I'll give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." If you love his word and you're glad for it tonight, as you're seated, let's give God praise and let's give him thanks and let's magnify him. What a good God, and how worthy of all the praise and the honor and the glory. We thank you for the privilege of handling your word in this house tonight, oh God. As you open the understanding of your disciples, open our understanding tonight that we can understand your precious word. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. God bless you as you're seated. Clap your hands once more. Lift up your voice. Give God a shout. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, we give you praise, oh God. You want to be in prayer with Sister Lisa and Ashley and Chase and that family. They buried Sister Billy Miller yesterday. And even though she's been a faithful saint of God, and even though she has gone on to her reward, it is still difficult, and the memories are very, very powerful. And so they are in a place where prayer will do them some good here. So just lift them up and pray for them. And it was a relatively long period of time where she was in need of family care, and so they're just kind of blasted. If you know about that, then you know exactly where they are tonight. So just pray God's strength and blessing on them. So Ahab had a desire for Naboth's vineyard. Ahab could see the vineyard. It was hard against the palace of the king. And when he looked out over that section of his wall, he could see that pristine vineyard. He could see the symmetry and the alignment. And you know how vineyards look or orchards look. You can see straight lines and diagonals. And if it's well cared for, it's groomed well, and it's productive. It's a beautiful thing to see, and he desired it, and that's why the scripture said, "Thou shalt not covet," because it begins with your eye. What you see oftentimes is what you want. So it's very, very important that you take control of your eyes. And covetousness leads to theft, and it leads to murder, and it leads to avarice. And so he gets turned down. Naboth just says, "I can't give you this because this is the inheritance of my fathers. This came to me," and because he said fathers, plural, it was multiple generations back. These plants were planted by his elders, and it was groomed, and it was tilled and tended by the husbandry of his grandfathers and his father and all of that. We don't know how far back that goes, but he said, "I can't because it's the inheritance of the Lord." And so Ahab was crushed because he's the king. He's a little petulant. He's a little spoiled. He's not used to being told no, and he goes home and he pouts and he lays and turns his face to the wall. And wicked Baal-worshipping Jezebel, the daughter of a pagan king, "Why are you so sad today?" And he tells her, and she says, "Honey, you don't worry about it. I'm going to get that vineyard for you. You just get up, wash your face, and you eat, and I'll have that vineyard here shortly." And she contracts with the elders of the city and with a couple of individuals that are called sons of Belial. And they call a high fast. And they bring Naboth into the circle of their gathering. And these two sons of Belial, they testify against him. And they say he has blasphemed God and he's blasphemed the king. And they take him outside the city, and they stone him with stones until he is dead. And then the message comes to Jezebel, "Don't worry, your enemy Naboth is dead." And so she goes to Ahab the king and says, "Rise up and go and possess that thing that you wanted, because Naboth is not alive. He is dead." And so they do that, and Ahab is encouraged, and he goes out and he goes to that vineyard that he's wanted. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Rise, go meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth." When God looks at it, it still belongs to Naboth. whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick thy blood, even thine. God is watching, and this is serious to God, and adherence to the inheritance and keeping the way of your fathers is an important idea with God. And Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I've found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord, and will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And what he means by that is prophecy has gone forth and the house of Jeroboam has been eradicated from the earth. All of his descendants have been killed. And that's going to be the lot of the house of Ahab. Every descendant of Ahab is going to die. He will not have a living seed in the earth. And of Jezebel also spoke the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. I just want you to know, Naboth took a stand in a place where he needed to stand. Naboth took a stand concerning his inheritance, not only in his family, but in the kingdom of God. And he stood for the principle of the word of God. And the world didn't like it, and the world reached out, and the world took his life. But God was watching that, and God was weighing and balancing that. And then a prophecy came forth and said, God's going to arrange payback for this. You're not going to get away with this. Now, Naboth was going to die one day. He wasn't going to live forever on the earth. As it is with all mortals, we all go on to our reward. And Naboth was in the vineyard of the Lord, if you would, after he was stoned to death. But God keeps good records, and God keeps score, and God doesn't let anything like that go by. And here's how Ahab dies. It's in that business with the battle when Ahab recruits Jehoshaphat and Judah to come and go into war with him because he's not strong enough. And he goes into battle. He even disguises himself, Ahab does. And he puts the royal robes on Jehoshaphat. And he thinks he'll hide in the crowd. But the Bible said that a man drew a bow. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture. He didn't aim. He just let one rip. He just let one fly. And it found the seam in the armor of Ahab. And it smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said to the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day. And the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation through the host about going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city, every man to his own country. So the king died. Ahab died and was brought to Samaria. And they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria. And the dogs licked up his blood. And they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord, which he spake. And Elisha sends a son of the prophets to anoint Jehu to be king of Israel. And here's the conversation with that servant of Elisha, the son of the prophets. He arose, went to the house, poured oil on Jehu's head, and said to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I've anointed thee king over the people, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I might avenge the blood of my servants the prophets and the blood of the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. And he's thinking about Naboth. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength in verse 24 and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. Verse 26, surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat, saith the Lord. Now therefore take him and cast him into that plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. So we're going to take this fallen king and we're going to bury him in that vineyard. And verse 30, and when Jehu was come to Jezreel, he's the new king of Israel, Jezebel heard it, and she painted her face, and she tired her head, and she looked out a window, and she was thinking about seducing this new king. It had worked always before for her. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who's on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs, and he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood, this is funny to me, it really is, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trode her underfoot. She was wicked. She was a murderess. She was a Baal worshiper. She destroyed the nation of Israel and corrupted the king of Israel. I'm just telling you, God keeps good records. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, now go see how this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more than her skull and her feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. God saw these occurrences, and you see the response of God. And so you understand the significance and the power of this decision that Naboth made, and the fact that God stood with him. Now, he lost his life. But I want to suggest to you tonight, there are some things worth dying for. And I'll also suggest to you that if you don't have anything in your life worth dying for, it is arguable you don't have anything worth living for. So I want you to understand that Naboth's vineyard was something that he had to stand for. It, all of his character and integrity and his relationship with God and his status in his family, all of those things depended on it. And I want you to know the world always wants to transgress against your vineyard and what you have in the kingdom of God. Naboth's vineyard, this is how significant it was. A kingdom fell. Kings were killed and their posterity was cut off. And a queen was eaten by dogs. So I want you to entertain the fact this is a great transgression that Ahab committed against Naboth. And an important line was crossed in the heavenlies, or in the realm of the spirit. Naboth's vineyard was his inheritance. He would not sell it, because there are some things that are not for sale. Our world has corrupted everything, and our world has made merchandise of everything, and a dollar is a powerful provocateur. But I want you to know there are some things that ought to have a permanent, not for sale sign on them. There's always something out there trying to hustle you and trying to take those things that God has given you. But I want you to know there ought to be some things in your life that are not for sale. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord and bless his name. And in the case of Naboth, that not for sale sign was backed by God. And Naboth's vineyard was an heritage. It was a responsibility. It was a testimony. It was the promise of God in his life. It could not be for sale. He could not relinquish what God had given him. Naboth's vineyard was ordered, symmetrical. It was in alignment. It was a controlled environment. And the vines in that vineyard had been planted by his grandparents' grandparents. now it had come down to him. And I'll just tell you, there's always something that is changing, and there's always a dynamic in the earth that change is inevitable. But I want you to know and understand, the word of God is forever settled in the heavens, and there are some things that will abide, and there are some things that cannot change, and the world will try to offer you something else. But you need to know and understand, the rock Christ Jesus and the word of God and this apostolic message, they are eternal. They are forever. We this evening are riding on the prayers of elders that prayed before we were born. We are standing in places in the spirit that were carved out by faithful men and women many, many decades ago. We never met them. We never knew them. We might not know their stories. But I'm telling you, the rivulets that are created by the prayer and the activity in the spirit by people in times past, they run down the stream of time and into generation after generation. And I thank God for those prayer warriors in years gone by. And I thank God for those that sang the songs and told the stories and preached the word of God. I thank God for the elders. His vineyard was hard by the palace of Ahab. It was right against the wall of another controlled environment. This is such a powerful metaphor for the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. Jesus said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. We are without doubt in the world, but we are, because we're born again of the kingdom of God, we are not of the world. That's why we're not interested in their current events, and that's why we're not interested in their fashions or their fads, and that's why we're not being swept away by the buzz and the noise in the street, and that's why I'm not interested in having them deposit their culture and their ideas in my living room through their media. That's why I'm not interested. We are hard up against them. We are right here in the middle of this, but God put a godly man right up by Ahab's house, and God put a righteous man right up by Jezebel's house. And I want you to know, you're here to be the light of the world. You're here to be a vineyard of God in the middle of a deranged generation. Well, they can't find themselves, and they are lost spiritually, and they've lost their ways, and the moorings of the Judeo-Christian culture are escaping them day by day, and they're off into things you never thought in a million years you would have to explain to people what a man was and what a woman was. But it's in your street today, and it's in your high school today, and they're passing out books in the elementary school today, and they're talking about homosexual families, and they're talking about transgenders, and they're talking about non-binaries, and they're talking about all the multitude of variations on sexuality that there might be. But I want you to know, those old ways will serve you well. We are hard up against that today. And we've come to testify, God only made a man and a woman, and he didn't make anything in between. And I reject the postmodernist Marxist ideology of our day. And I lift up the word of God. Praise God. Now you may be confused. And we love you, and God loves you. God loved you so much he died for you. And we loved you. We love you, and the door is open for you. But friend of mine, you cannot buy the vineyard. You cannot have the vineyard. The vineyard was planted by the elders. It was given to us by God. It has fixed parameters. It is sure and it is certain. And it is what it is because it was the gift of God in our lives. And we can't change. We don't have license to change what God has given us. Well, praise God. Churches bend over backwards. They're chasing everything from being environmentally friendly to having homosexual weddings in their churches. But I'm just going to tell you, there are some things that are not for sale. And there are some things that are worth dying for. And there are some things that are worth standing for. And if you think it's going to go on like it has gone on and the world is forever going to be a safe place for godly people, I want you to know it is getting increasingly more and more unsafe as we go. But it doesn't matter how hostile it gets. I look at our forebears. It was hostile in Jerusalem. It was hostile in the early first century of the church. And all of those apostles died a martyr's death. I just want you to know it's always been that way. There are people dying for the cause of God in the Middle East today. And in other places, Christians are hunted down and they are martyred and murdered. But I want you to know there are some things worth dying for. And if you don't understand that, you probably don't have anything really worth living for. Our vineyards are hard by the palace of Ahab. Our vineyard is our life before God. We are God's cultivated field. We are God's vineyard. Israel was in Isaiah chapter 5 called the vineyard of the Lord, the Lord's planting. Paul says that you are the cultivated field of God. We are God's husbandry. That's the language of the vineyard. We are God's planting, and we are what God has planted in the earth. And I want you to know something. These young men, these young ladies, these precious young people and children in this house tonight, that is the heritage of the Lord. The Bible said your children are the heritage of the Lord. I want you to know they are what God has given us to keep and secure and protect. And one generation has to declare his praise to another generation. And this thing was meant to be handed on like Naboth's vineyard from one generation to another generation. And we are hard up by Ahab's palace. And Ahab wants to tell you it's all right to have recreational sex. And it's all right to have a device in your hand and have pornography in your life. But I want you to know that's not the way of the vineyard. That's a corrupting. Every vineyard, every garden, every cultivated field is constantly under assault by wind-borne and water-borne and bird-borne seeds and vines and grasses and things that if they're left to their own, you see, these things have to be tended. I can't let you just grow up all by yourself. God gave you a church, and God gave you a structure, and God gave you a pastor, and God gave you leadership in your life that would come and hoe around you and dig around you and tell you that's not what we're going to be. That's what it is out there, but we're not going to be like that. And Ahab's going to come and say, Ben, now, Ben, if you'll come with me, I'm going to give you this cute little Egyptian girl over here. Come on, Ben. She's a cutie. She's a hottie. She's just as sweet as she can be, and she's just Egyptian. But, you know, that's all right because we believe in diversity and equity and inclusiveness. We need some Egyptians here You got to say, no, this is not for sale. I belong to God. I want to get married. I need a girl in my life, but I need a godly girl in my life. I need somebody that's going to help me till the vineyard of God. I need somebody that's going to help me live for God. I've told you before, I'll tell you again. If you can't handle that phone in your hand, get mama to get you a flip phone. If once a month you're trolling through and you're finding something pornographic and you're following it down the rabbit hole, get rid of that thing. You can live without that thing. We have lived without that thing. But you'll die with pornography in your hand. You'll die with pornography in your hand. That's true for every young person. That's true for every adult in this house. I just want you to know some things ought not be for sale. Your integrity is not for sale. Your holiness, your godliness, your righteousness, those things are not for sale. Because Ahab will come and say, I'll give you anything. I'll give you another vineyard. I'll give you money for it. And you could carry that on out to its logical conclusion. I'll find something that rings your bell. I'll find something. But listen to me. You're illiterate, devil. Here's the sign. Read it again. Not for sale. ¿Cómo se dice en español? No se vende. What? Israel, huh? No se vende. You got a little wife. You've got a beautiful little girl. That's your vineyard. He wants it. He wants to buy it. He wants to corrupt it. He wants to distort it. He wants you to think divorce is all right if you don't get everything you want. He wants you to think that little baby will do fine. They're resilient. They're very elastic. They'll do all right if you go off and marry someone else and Mariah goes off and marries somebody else. And if you're divorced and remarried here today, I am not coming after you. I'm just telling you, God's got a biblical ideal and you need to walk by it. The closer you get to that ideal, the closer you get to the favor of God and the purpose of God and the anointing of God. And you need to build your vineyard on the basis of the word of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Not for sale. Everybody say, not for sale. My children are not for sale. My marriage is not for sale. My house, my faith, my testimony, not for sale. No se vende. Sister Raquel, I have a picture in my phone. ¿Entiende? Yo tengo una pintura en mi phone. Only Spanish speakers know how bad my Spanish is. It actually sounds pretty good, but I create words sometimes. En un servicio en la semana que pasado, hay cuatro niñas aquí en este altar. Altar? Altar? Gracias. They were here. Four of them were here playing and praying. Now, you may look at that and say they were just playing, but children resolve life by play. And they learn to play. And whether you know it or not, all you're doing right now is engaging in adult play. I don't mean it's not significant. I just mean we're all involved in a lot of games. And it starts with those children. But they were here. And Sister Raquel always has her pile of Kleenex out on the altar because she's a weeping prophet, prophetess. And she prays and she weeps. And those babies had their Kleenexes out there. And they all had their little heads down on there. And they were looking at one another like, look at what we're doing. Look at what we're doing. We're doing this. Look. And they're watching their behavior. But you know what they're doing? They're modeling. I'm glad Raquel's in the altar praying and weeping. And I'm glad babies are watching that. You know what they are? They're little vines coming up in the house of God. They're new little plantings coming up in the house of God. We don't need to change what we are or what we're doing or where we're going. We need to make sure that as Naboth's vineyard was given from grandfather to son to grandson and on, we need to make sure until the Lord comes that there's a church that believes in the apostolic message, that walks and loves the things of holiness, that is intent on growing in God and in the grace and in the anointing of God. Can somebody say praise the Lord? His house was hard up against the palace of Ahab, and our houses, our vineyards are hard up against the world. And so we're there, we're juxtaposed to give the contrast, to show the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. That's what that means. And if the salt has lost its savor, if you lose the difference, if you become like the world, I see churches all over this city, and there's no difference in the people inside and outside, except they say, I believe. But their life is the same. Their custom is the same. Their entertainment is the same. Their lifestyle is the same. What has happened there? The tendrils of the plant, the growth, the seed from outside has come into the vineyard. And that's exactly what God said when he was talking to the Pharisees. And he began to talk about a vineyard. And to really understand that, you have to reflect back from Matthew to Isaiah chapter 5. And he talks about my beloved hath a vineyard in a hill. And he talks about how he planted choice vines there. But when he came for the harvest, he didn't get what he wanted. He said it was full of wild grapes. It was full of things that had come in from the outside. And I want you to know there's always something trying to take away what God has given you. And there's something always trying to intervene and interrupt and to encroach upon the things of God. And that's what farmers do. That's what husbandmen do. That's what people that have vineyards and fields do. They work. They express control over their field. They draw lines and boundaries. And they say, this is the world and this is the vineyard. This is the world, and this is the church. And there have to be clear lines. And when you start getting fuzzy on the line, gradualism begins to move in. That's why it's so important. We make a big deal about little things. We make a big deal about little things. I had somebody call me the other day and was asking me about a group. Constant theme. They won't, because we don't date. And we don't go off alone. We fellowship in groups. I don't care if you're 16 or if you're 60. You need to fellowship in a group. If you're working with a woman that's not your wife or a man that's not your husband, we fellowship in groups. And I said, I know this is irritating, and I know that it's inconvenient, and I know that it, and through the years, we've been doing this now for 35 years, and I understand it's a pain in the neck sometime, but I understand also it's absolutely essential that we draw those lines. It will not be good for your Holy Ghost experience if you're cuddled up in the back seat of a car. It won't be good for you if you're having recreational sex and then you're trying to come to the house of God and pray legitimate prayers and worship God. You're going to be so condemned and so conflicted. You need to draw those lines. This is my vineyard, and this is Ahab's house, and we're not bringing into my vineyard what belongs to Ahab. And I'm not bringing wild grapes into the vineyard of the Lord, because he's coming back and he expects a harvest and he's looking for a particular type of fruit. And we're not going to let things in that are going to grow up and not be like God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. What a good God. Well, praise God. I broke into the Exhorter platform crew meeting tonight. I never go to that. but I just stuck my head in the door. And I said, can we get through this service tonight? Nobody mentioned the Super Bowl. I just thought that'd be a great idea. And they said, it's not tonight. It's next week. And I'm like, well, don't do it next week. But there are churches that are piping in the Super Bowl. But what you need to pipe in is Super God. There are people that are piping in athletes, and they want their boys to have heroes that know how to kick and throw a ball. I want our boys to have heroes that know how to pray and read and serve and walk in the anointing of God. My God, right there you ought to run the aisle. If you're going to run the aisle, you ought to run the aisle right there. See, we're not against athletics. We run in church. We're not against dancing. We dance in church. We just don't dance with Ahab. And we just don't run with Ahab. Ahab has a controlled environment. The vineyard of God has a controlled environment. They're both very, very disciplined. Disciplined cultures, disciplined fields of control and influence. Fields, gardens, vineyards, orchards. They're always having to resist competing values and mores and ideologies and spirits. Praise God. Praise God. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. Somehow oppression got into the vineyard of God. Somehow ego rose up in the vineyard of God. Somehow the things that are manifest in the world got into the vineyard of God. For righteousness he looked, but behold, a cry. Praise God. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. The kingdom of heaven is a cultivated field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. I want you to know, this is not just the ramblings of an old bald-headed preacher. This is the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He said there was a man that planted good seed, but during the night somebody came in and put tares all over his field. I want you to know there is a competitive spirit in this world, and it wants to steal every good thing that God has given you. But we've got to be vigilant, and we've got to be persistent, and we have to watch. We've got to be aware. It's been difficult the last couple of years with all of the noise in the streets and all the social cultural change that has been going on, and people were not quite sure where to stand or how to express themselves or what side to take. But I'll just tell you, you don't have to take a side with what's happening out there. All you have to do is be faithful to what's happening in here, and those things are going to resolve out there, and that the pathology of 2 years ago is going to die away, and some new pathology is going to rise. Don't be jerked around by social media. Don't be liking stuff on social media, letting the world drag you around to its positions. Don't be forwarding things on social media and acting like you're a part of that, because you're not a part of that. That culture, those are vines and seeds that are trying to come in to the house of God. Praise God. So your life is a vineyard, and your family is a walled garden, and your church is a cultivated field, and we are farmers and planters and husbandmen and harvesters. The world always wants to take possession, and the devil always wants to buy God's property. Sister Bonnie, can you give us just a shout about, you can't have my family? Can you do that from where you are? Oh, okay, but that was pretty timid. I know you're not up here, and I know you're not in your robe, and I know you don't have a mic, but you don't need a mic, sister. That's right. You can't have my increase. What? You can't have my babies. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my prayer life. You can't have my worship. My God, if you don't like worship, you came to the wrong place, because it's going to get worse than it is right now. I want you to know we're going to worship God better next year than we have in years past. Praise God.
Sure.
You can't have my piano player. You can't have my praise group. You can't have my Sunday school teachers. You can't have my bass player. Now, you know what happens. You know what happens. You get good, you get out there, you get anointed, and the world loves that anointing. The world loves that anointing. And they'll start siding up to you, and they'll start making deals. Come go with me here, and come go with me there, and look at the opportunities that are going to open up in your life. You know, I remember a night I was coming down Parkway East, and there was a big church billboard on one side of the road and a big church billboard on the other side of the road, and there were ex-apostolics that were being featured in those non-apostolic churches, because something had drawn them away. Praise God. But you are the vineyard of the Lord. You are tasked with leading the people of God into worship. You have a responsibility to play, and to play skillfully, and to play with anointing. I'll tell you what, though. I'd rather have a washboard and a bass and a wash tub that served as a bass drum and not have any music at all if we had to have, how shall I say, if we had to have sweet boys, if we had to have sissified music. These are men up here playing tonight. Let's give them a hand. Men can play at church, and women can play at church, but nothing in between can play at church. Men can sing at church, and ladies can sing at church, but nothing in between can sing up here. Men can teach Sunday school, ladies can teach Sunday school, but nothing in between. If you don't know, Brother Andrew, I think you know, but if you don't know, if you're male or female, we don't need you teaching Sunday school. We don't need you teaching our babies. I have, in recent weeks, I have seen these woke teachers coming out, telling about how they're telling their babies that they are trans, and they're teaching them new pronouns. I don't know where mama and daddy are, but there's a whole world of trouble coming up in those schools. Every time I walk down this hall and I look at this school and these babies up here and these teachers, I thank God. It just makes me want to get down on my face and thank God. Listen to me. If you are in the house tonight and you are absolutely invested in homosexual lifestyle, God loves you. The church loves you. And there's a place for you in the kingdom of God. and you can come and you can repent and you can be baptized and you can receive the Holy Ghost. And Paul talks about it, Brother Travis, and he said, you need to know that neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind can enter into the kingdom of God. But then he said, and such were some of you. What does that mean? That means anybody can be delivered. That means everybody can be delivered. That means God delivers to the uttermost. That means God is able to touch your life right where you are and give you a brand new life. Praise God. Somebody lift your hands and talk in tongues. Just shout a little bit. Exercise that Holy Ghost right now. Let that flow in your vessel. Let that flow in this house. Let that flow in the vineyard. Let it touch the babies. Let the water spring up. Let it become a river that cannot be passed over. Give us a little bit about that. You can't.
You can't have my family.
Oh, and the alto said.
You can't have my family.
Okay, now you know what's coming. Say it again.
You can't have my family.
Oh, now the tenor said. Yeah, you know it's a bad key for tenors, isn't it? I can't do that. But the soprano like it because it's their key. And they said. Oh, I like that. Say it again. Where is your family, by the way? I don't mean your mama. I'm talking about your husband and your children. Where are they? She said he's coming soon. He's coming soon. You know what that is, though? That is the unfolding potential. That is the abstract future. But that's also the promise of God. Because we plant little vines, but they become big vines. We plant things without fruit, but they begin to bear fruit. We plant things that have a hope in potentiality. And a man. Now you want to say, you can't have my husband. That's right. He's out there somewhere.
You can't have my children.
They're out there somewhere too.
You can't have my increase.
Yes. You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't,
you can't have my, you can't, you can't,
you can't.
I plead.
Praise God. Somebody needs to make a proclamation. Somebody needs to make a declaration. Somebody needs to take a stand. Somebody needs to draw some lines.
I plead the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
Somebody needs to cut off some things.
I plead the blood.
Somebody needs to dig out some things.
I plead the blood.
Sing it with them.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my.
You can't have my. You can't.
I plead the blood.
Somebody needs to worship right now. And you need to say, you can't have my worship.
Over my children.
Oh, hold on. your family tonight. Your future family. Your vineyard. You think so? Eventually? Okay, well, I don't care where she is. You just need to make a declaration. I'm going to be the vineyard of God when she gets here. I'm going to be the parameters that God laid out when she gets here. I'm going to be the man of God that God called when she gets here. All right, I'll give you a chance. You say, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
You can't have my wife.
You can't have my wife.
You can't have my baby.
You can't have my future babies.
You can't have my worship. You can't have my prayer.
You can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my.
You can't have my. You can't. You can't. You can't have my.
I pray.
Brother Travis. Brother Travis. How long have you been doing this? It's hopeless. I cannot hear you. 30 years. How'd you make it so long? And Kia and Travis, they're still in church. And your wife was right by your side this morning. She's still in the house of God. How did you do that? That's a pretty good vineyard. Do you have a not for sale sign up on the front of your vineyard? Let's clap our hands. Let's lift up a shout to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody have some precious things that God has given you? Anybody got an attitude about I'm going to hold on to what God gave me? Praise God. So excellent to be in the house of the Lord with you on a Sunday night. We're rejoicing with our little sister that was baptized in Jesus' name. We're looking forward to good things in the house of God. And we're expecting God to pour out revival this week. God bless you.